Jess in with you this morning. We're catching up with Upper Hunter MP Michael Johnson. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning, Jessica. How are you this morning on this fine Friday morning in the Upper Hunter?
It's a great morning. It's been a great week in the Upper Hunter, really.
When is it not a great week?
Well,
in the
this is a very good point. We did have lots of money announced yesterday.
Yes, it was very, very good. And it was wonderful to have the Deputy Prime Minister, Michael McCormack, and Minister for the Regional Roads and Transport, Paul Toole, in the electorate to make a major announcement. It's a nationwide announcement that was made here just out of Denman yesterday around road safety funding. And these would include, and for New South Wales, well, I think it's about $408 million over about 251 projects across the state, of which 150 of those projects are in regional New South Wales. Coming back to a local level, we actually have 11 projects which will be funded with the cost of around $9 million. And those projects stretch from the Golden Highway near Merriwar there, or at Merriwar, to the Golden Highway shoulder widening just near Dale Swinton Road there, where we were yesterday, just out of Denman. We've got funding going into Bingleborough Road, and if anyone knows that road between Gresford and Dungog, they would understand that it's often a dangerous road, and accidents occur a lot, unfortunately. So there's some road safety aspects happening there. The Buckets Way, the Thunderbolts Way, which is in the Upper Hunter electorate. There's some more funding, well, all Whittingham, importantly, yes. Whittingham, traditional danger spot on the highway. So there are programs all over the electorate that are going to assist drivers to be able to stay as safe as possible. Of course, everyone needs to take control or responsibility when they're behind the wheel when they're driving.
Yeah.
It's a dangerous thing to do.
Exactly.
It's inherently a dangerous thing to do, so we always need to understand that. But at the same time, government can share that responsibility, if you like, from the point of view of making sure that it has the best possible road network and the safest possible road network for people to be able to traverse as safely as possible, whether they're going to work or some sort of recreational activity or picking up the kids from school or dropping them off from school. It doesn't really matter what the activity is. We want people to stay safe, and we want people to drive safely in particular.
Exactly. And the upgrade works at Parkville, I think that was $2.1 million worth of upgrade works, is finished as well.
That's correct. And that has traditionally been a somewhat of a notorious accident area with a number of fatalities. And we went there yesterday and inspected the finished works, and it's come up a treat. And, you know, it's got new guardrails, new rumble strips, and the things that you run over where it start to make a noise and they annoy you, then they're there for a reason.
Exactly.
And they annoy you for all the right reasons.
Yes.
You know, all those things just make it that little bit safer if you're veering off your lane, you're a bit tired, or you're not quite concentrating as much as possible. You know, if you're on your mobile phone, which is one of the most dangerous things anyone can do, is take their eye off the road and use the mobile phone. Then all those things help. But, you know, I think it's wonderful to see these upgrades. And when you link that in with funding for new bridges and more roadworks here, and, you know, we're well and truly down the track with the Musselbrook and the Singleton bypass. We've completed the Scone bypass. You know, things are in our road network in particular looking very, very good here in the Upper Hunter.
Exactly. And also this week, the sale of the Scone TAFE has certainly been in the news again. We had opposition leader Jody McKay in the region again. I know there were rallies down in Newcastle for other TAFE reasons, job cuts and things like that. But certainly one of the things this week is that the government apparently was starting to talk about Racing New South Wales interested in buying the TAFE. As of 6 months ago, you were asked this question yesterday at a press conference. This is what you had to say.
I did have a discussion with Racing New South Wales and, in fact, another interested party in that particular site. And that would have been last year sometime. Mate, I can't remember the actual date and time, so I'm sorry. No, I'm not going to talk about the date and time because I don't, you know, if I can go through my diary, that's fine. If I can go through my phone records, that's fine. Let's be reasonable.
So I guess my question to you is, did we as a community have the right to know that these conversations were happening?
Look, these conversations happen all the time, and it's, as I said yesterday, it's not unusual for me to be contacted by all sorts of people and organisations expressing an interest in the possibility of purchasing a block of land that the government might own. The standard thing is, and I've always said this, if you're interested, if anyone's interested in buying a block of land, write to the minister and or the relevant agency. That will be an operational decision of that agency to decide whether or not, one, they want to divest themselves of that piece of land or not. If they do, it goes through a very, very public process. And the fact that we're hearing about the Scone TAFE site at Flemington Drive indicates that it is a very public process. Everyone has equal opportunity to make a bid, make an offer, express an interest in the purchase of that, and then go from there. It's a very, very public process. There's nothing to hide here. And, you know, let's face it, we live in a country in Australia here where we are a democracy, and anyone has the right to write to the government and ask them a question, even if it is about the potential for buying a block of land. What's wrong with that?
Yeah. Are you in a position to guarantee that that site will stay as an educational facility if Racing New South Wales buy it?
Well, I can't guarantee anything because, one, I don't know whether or not Racing New South Wales will actually buy it. Remembering, I said yesterday, there was more than one party that contacted me about that site. Same message goes to everyone. Write to the minister, write to the agency and tell them that you're interested and see what happens. Go through the public process. So I believe there have been a couple of bids put in for that particular site. I don't know how much they are. Racing New South Wales themselves have come out publicly and said, we have put in a bid. That's fine. I don't know who the other bidder is because I literally don't know. It may or may not be a bid from the organisation that contacted me along with or around the time or even before Racing New South Wales actually and said that they'd be keen to buy the place. The bid is the bid, and if the bid meets the criteria which is set, which has been, again, very publicly noted, if that happens and they proceed to a sale and whoever the successful bidder is, then they'll tell you what their plans are for the site. So yeah. Racing New South Wales has indicated publicly that they, should they be successful, then they want to, they are actually a registered training organisation themselves, they want to maintain... I'm only going by their public words. They want to maintain an educational facility, which I would think would be a good thing. But hey, it's not my decision, and you know this is a decision that's well beyond my pay grade. At the end of the day, what I'm trying to do is make sure that whatever may happen with our public facilities here in the Upper Hunter, that we get the best possible deal, and hence this very public expression of interest process. The other thing, the key point for me, and I've said this from day one, that should a sale occur, I want the money spent locally on local facilities.
Yeah.
Because we need some capital upgrades and a bit of TLC in some of our facilities in the Upper Hunter. Here's a way of releasing some capital to be able to do that. That's my only criteria that I've asked the government. If you're going to proceed with this, then I want the money spent locally.
Yeah. I'm catching up with Upper Hunter MP Michael Johnson this morning. And speaking of people riding with issues or concerns, we had a message from John and Therese at McCully's Gap. They're curious to know how they can sort out a bit of an issue they're having with regard to some long grass on a property on the New England Highway and Sandy Creek Road sort of intersection. Is this a government thing? Is this a council thing? Is this an RMS thing?
If Sandy Creek Road's a local council road, the New England Highway is under the care and control of Transport for New South Wales, often in conjunction with councils. But I'll get the details on that. I'll find out what the answer is and we'll get something happening.
Yep.
And there's, you know, there's a classic example. People can write to us about anything they like.
That's exactly right.
Like the letter I received yesterday afternoon from a lovely lady over in Gloucester complaining about the fact that jelly being served up in a public hospital is made in China. So, you know what? it doesn't really matter what you've got to
big,
ask.
Big, small, or in between.
That's exactly, exactly right. It's a democracy, and isn't that a wonderful thing? And anyone can ask any question they like.
Exactly. All right, what's on for the weekend?
Heading down to Stroud first thing in the morning and opening up a new pavilion, which was at the showground there at Stroud, which was jointly funded between the federal and state governments. And then I'm hot-tailing it back to Quirindi because the military, Liverpool Plains military tattoo is on again. I think this is its fourth year, and I've been the MC every year, and I love doing it. So that'll be a great afternoon, long day, but great afternoon and into the evening. And one of the things that they do, if you're not doing anything and you're keen to hear a few Scottish bands play, there's some wonderful music that occurs and activities that occur. And additionally, I think it's about 9:30, they truly have a fantastic fireworks display.
Oh, cool.
And they've done it every year, and it goes for about 15 minutes, and it is very, very spectacular. They do a fantastic job, and I'd like to think it puts Sydney to shame on New Year's Eve.
There you go. Be cool. I like it. Plenty going on, Michael. Thank you so much for coming in.
No worries. Anytime.